Ramsey TV.
Greetings, fellow members of the body of Christ. I'm going to read to you today from the book of Daniel, chapter 4. We are going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm going to apply the events that occurred to Nebuchadnezzar. I think you know the famous event that happened to him. I'm going to apply it in maybe a way you've never heard before. It's possible you have heard it. It's possible you've heard it from me. I'm not sure. I think I've talked about this once, probably during the 50 show series I did on the book of Daniel, Concordant Studies in the book of Daniel, but I don't think I applied it quite like this. I'm going to do that for you today. This is Martin Zender here at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. We have a nice evening here. I'm broadcasting this on the evening before the broadcast of this show. You notice I didn't say what day of the week because I'm not sure what day of the week it is, actually. So welcome to the show. I'm going to be reading to you from Daniel chapter 4 in the Concordant version of the Old Testament. If you don't have this, you can read it online, or you can get it in one giant of a volume. It's well worth it, because if you're going to be reading the scriptures, and if you're going to be arguing with people about God's word, you might as well find out what God said. I mean, while you're at it, you just might as well find out what he said. There's no sense straining over it. There's no sense arguing about it with anybody. There's no sense wringing your hands or praising the Lord unless you know what he actually said. That's why sound translation is vital. Go to concordance.org. You can order a hard copy of this and the Concordant Literal New Testament, or you can read it free online. What a deal. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4, starting with verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. Uh-oh. All right, you're going to see why that's a uh-oh. There was a dream that I perceived, and it was terrifying me. There were portents on my bed and visions of my head that were flustering me. So a decree was promulgated from me to bring in before me all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the sacred scribes, the magi, the Chaldeans, and the hieromancers came in, and I was stating the dream before them, yet they could not make known to me its interpretation. Then, last of all, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, after the name of my Eloah, and in whom is the spirit of the holy Elohim. And I stated the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, grandee of the sacred scribe, since I myself know that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you, and no secret at all bothers you. I like that wording, sorry. No secret bothers you. It's the same with us. No secret bothers us, because all the secrets have been dispensed via Paul. All right, don't want to get carried away there. You hear the visions of my dream that I perceived and state its interpretation to be. Now the visions on my head, on my bed, were these. I was perceiving, and lo, an oak in the midst of the earth, and its height was enormous. The oak grew and became mighty. Its height reached to the heavens, and it was perceptible to the extremity of the entire earth. Its foliage was seemly. Its pollinated fruit was abundant, and there was sustenance for all in it. Under it, the animals of the field found shade. In its boughs, the birds of the heavens were abiding, and from it all flesh had sustenance for itself. I was perceiving in the visions of my head on my bed, and lo, a holy rouser. Great translation from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. A holy rouser was alighting from the heavens. He was calling with potency. And this is what he was saying. Slash down the oak and cut away its boughs. Shake off its foliage and scatter its pollinated fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its boughs. But the stump with its roots leaving the earth, clamped with a bond of iron and copper, and the verdure of the field. Let him be wet with the night mist of the heavens, and let his portion be with the animals in the herbage of the earth. Let his heart be altered from that of a mortal's, and let the heart of an animal be granted to him. Thus let seven seasons pass on over him. By the severance decree of the rousers is the rescript, and by the statement of the saints is the request, to the intent that the living may know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he gives it to whomever he will, and he sets it up over a lowly one of mortals. This was the dream that I, Nebuchadnezzar, perceived. Now you, Belteshazzar, which is Daniel, state the interpretation, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make the interpretation known to me, yet you are able, since the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you. Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was perplexed for a while, and his ruminations flustered him. The king was responding and saying, Belteshazzar, the dream and its interpretation must not fluster you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream apply to those hating you, and its interpretation to your foes. I wondered why he said this. As I pondered this, I could only think that he's throwing off the king. He wants the king to be stunned by what he's about to say. So he says, Oh, may this apply to your enemies. But he doesn't pull the wool over his eyes for long, because he says this: The oak that you perceived that grew and became mighty, and its height reached to the heavens, and it was perceptible to the entire earth, and its foliage was seemly, and its pollinated fruit was abundant, and there was a sustenance for all in it. Under it the animals of the field were abiding, and in its boughs... See, he's going on and on, and Nebuchadnezzar is thinking, Oh yes, may this apply to my foes. May this apply to those hating me. You see, because I'm going to wait until I get to the end before I spring on you what I think this is, at least my interpretation of it, for these times. It has to do with deflection, see? It always has to do with deflection. This doesn't apply to me. It can't apply to me. You can't be talking about me. Under it the animals of the field were abiding, and in its boughs the birds of the heavens were roosting. There's a pregnant pause, a long pause. And Nebuchadnezzar is waiting to find out which one of his enemies is going to get it. Which one of his foes is going to be cut down. I think the pause was this long. And then Belteshazzar says this: It is you, O king. You have grown great and have become mighty. Your grandeur has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your authority to the extremity of the earth. And in it the king perceived a holy rouser alighting from the heavens and saying, Slash down the oak and harm it, but the stump with its roots leaving the earth, clamped with a bond of iron and copper in the verdure of the field, and let him be wet with the night mist of the heavens, and let his portion be with the animals of the field until 7 seasons pass on over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is the severance decree of the Supreme that comes upon my lord the king. They shall shove you away from mortals, and your abode shall be with the animals of the field. They shall feed herbage to you like oxen, and you shall be wet from the night mist of the heavens. Thus 7 seasons shall pass on over you until you know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. And since they said to leave the stump with its roots of the oak, your kingdom will be lasting for you from the time when you realize that all jurisdiction is of the heavens. Hence, O king, may my advice be seemly to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your depravities by being gracious to the humble, if there should be a lengthening of your days of ease. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, it did, but not until later, because he forgot all about it. Speaking of being shoved away, he shoved this whole prophecy away. Because I think that he deflected the whole thing. Because it's so important, I think, when Daniel says at first, may this apply to your foes, may this apply to those who hate you. I think he was practically deaf. Nebuchadnezzar, I think he was practically deaf for the rest of the prophecy. Because here's what he was doing. Doesn't say when, doesn't say how long after the prophecy, but here it is. Oh, it does say, after 12 months, a year goes by. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar when, at the end of 12 months, he was walking about on the housetop of the royal palace of Babylon. This is one hell of a passage of scripture. Are you ready for this? The king was responding to all this by saying, this is how he's responding. This is so wrong. It's so off. Is not this Babylon the Great that I myself have built for the royal house with the might of my safeguarding walls and for the esteem of my honor? And while the declaration was still in the mouth of the king, there was a voice that fell from the heavens. This has been decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar, that the kingdom has passed away from you. From mortals are they shoving you, probably the rousers. From mortals are they shoving you away, and with the animals of the field is your abode. They shall feed herbage to you like oxen. Thus seven seasons shall pass on over you until you know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. Not much time goes by now, because listen to this. In the same hour, the declaration gathered on Nebuchadnezzar. He was shoved away from mortals. He was eating herbage like oxen, and his frame was wet from the night mist of the heavens until his hair grew like vultures' feathers and his nails like birds' claws. At the end of the days, talk about a segue, seven seasons goes by, which is interpreted, I believe, accurately so as 7 years. I'm going to tell you why. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to the heavens, and my knowledge was returning to me. Then I blessed the Supreme, and I lauded and honored him who is living for the eon, since his jurisdiction is an aeonian jurisdiction, and his kingdom is with generation after generation. All those, listen to this, this is important because of what I'm going to say after this. All those abiding on the earth are reckoned as naught. According to his will, he is doing. Sound like Ephesians 1:11? God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. According to his will, he is doing with the army of the heavens and with those abiding on the earth. And there is no one who shall stay his hand and say to him, what have you done? Does it sound like Romans 9? Will the clay be protesting to the potter, why have you made me this way? What have you done? Hang on to that. At the stated time, my knowledge was returning to me. For the esteem of my kingdom, also my honor and my former aspect returned to me. My retinue and my grandees sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and excelling grandeur was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is incredible, am lauding and exalting and honoring the King of the heavens, since all his deeds are verity, and his paths are adjudication, and he is able to abase all those walking in pride. He is able to abase all those walking in pride. And Nebuchadnezzar is the king, the poster boy of those walking in pride. And what was the pride? What was his sin? It was self-righteousness. It was the assumption that I have built this kingdom by the might of my power for my honor. And never will you hear the doctrine of free will stated that openly, that nakedly, that this is for my honor, this is for the sake of my pride. Did not I accomplish this? Ladies and gentlemen, this is free will. I keep telling you how terrible this doctrine is. And it's so pervasive that even those in the body of Christ, no, I take that back, even those circling the body of Christ, who think they're in the body of Christ, they're not. Because as I've told you over and over again, the doctrine that humans could have a sovereign realm that God cannot enter into, will, when faced up against Paul's gospel, that it was Christ who died for sins, must deny that. Because free will says that it is one's decision, of course, that frees one from the bondage of sin and death. But let's speak generally now. You know that. I've said that many times. Let's speak generally now. I told you about the debate I had with Clay Kent, Pastor Clay Kent, who was supposedly a guy, he was a guy who believed in the salvation of all. I was going to a conference that was associated with the Concordant Publishing Concern, and here I was arguing with a guy over human free will. This is such an attraction to the flesh that not even people in our circle, I'm not saying they're in the body of Christ, because you cannot hold to free will and be in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ lauds Christ. This confession of Nebuchadnezzar is, to me, there's so many comments I can make on this. It's like him saying, now I thought it was of me. I thought I had built my kingdom. I thought I had saved myself by my decision to believe in Christ. But now I laud, now I see that I am nothing and it is God. Let's get the exact wording here. All those abiding on the earth are reckoned as naught. That is the opposite of free will. Everybody on the earth is reckoned as their own God, their own sovereign. And hardly any escape this. I was reading a letter I wrote yesterday to Bob Evely. He was waffling on it. Well, we don't know if God controls every little thing. There may be some realm of sovereignty. That's what Clay Kent said. That's what my friend Ted McDivitt ended up saying. This is what my friend Dan Sheridan ended up saying. That God doesn't control everything. There is a little realm of sovereignty. That's what the writers of The Differentiator said, who were associates of A. Enoch. This is a poison. And Nebuchadnezzar was just the latest guy. He just happened to be a high guy in Babylon, the king of the entire world. He got bit by the snake. He got bit by the poison. And it flowed through his veins. And it flows through the veins of my associates. And they slip and they fall. And they're all gone, going. Not all of them, thank God, but... But it's like, this thing must, I don't know, I don't see the attraction of it myself, but it's such a poison. People can't wait to get it. I don't know, but they can't wait to look for a loophole in the scriptures. They don't believe Romans chapter 9. They don't believe Ephesians 1:11. They don't believe Romans 11:36. But they look good and they sound good, these people, but they're infected with the same disease that afflicted Nebuchadnezzar. What's it going to take to deliver them from it? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar had a major change. What did it take? 7 times. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a parable of the 7 years of the tribulation. I am telling you that this teaching, this false teaching of humans having a sovereign realm where they can build things and operate things and build their towers, build their kingdoms, and they can do it by the might of their power, this can only be destroyed by 7 years of terror. I'm telling you, that's the stronghold it has. I have seen this take down my friends, some of my closest associates. It's taken them down. I mean, I don't understand it, except that it must be so, it is so freaking attractive. It's like an illicit lover. It's like irresistible to these people, not to me, but I can only thank God for that. Because look what it takes. What's the king's sin? His sin is his pride. That's what he ends up saying. God's able to abase people. Can you imagine the king of the world saying all those abiding on the earth are reckoned as naught? That would include him. According to his will, is he doing? According to his will, with those abiding on earth. And no one can say, what have you done? And the prophecy was, thus 7 seasons shall pass on over you until you know that the Supreme is in authority. Any kind of talk of human sovereignty, of a sovereign realm that God cannot touch. And you can dress it up with all the language you want to. Well, God can overrule it. No, he can't. If you have a freedom, you can't. God can't overrule it. You can't have it both ways, but they want to. It's the spirit and the flesh wrestling with each other. The flesh wants a little bit. Just give me a little bit of freedom. The spirit says, well, God's sovereign over everything, but it's in contradiction. And when you push them, you know what they want. You know what they want dearly and desperately. They want to strut upon the wall of Babylon, their own little city, and they want to say, I did this by the might of my power. It's never stated that, again, nakedly, but that's exactly what it is. And look what had to happen to this king. I like verse 26, and since they said to leave the stump with its roots of the oak, your kingdom will be lasting for you from the time when you realize. There it is. And Paul's prayer for the body of Christ is to come to a realization of the truth. The kingdom will come back to you when you realize that all jurisdiction is of the heavens. Reminds me of Romans 11:36. All is out of God, through God, and into God. Everything that happens is of God. It's not of your sovereign realm. Sorry, I got a little upset there, didn't I? I don't have to. Because it's going to be taken care of. When is it going to be taken care of? During the tribulation. The seven seasons of Nebuchadnezzar, which I believe were 7 years, correspond to the 7 years of the tribulation. And that, it's shocking to me. But that is what it's going to take to break the stronghold of I want a little piece of the pie of sovereignty. That's what it's going to take. For Nebuchadnezzar, he was covered with the mists of the morning, lost his mind, wandered with the beasts. Daniel tried to give him realization at the beginning, but it bounced off of him. It just bounced. Didn't want to hear it. Can't be applying to me. I know many people right now who are listening to this, thinking this can't apply to me because, well, I only want a little bit of sovereignty. It's going to take the tribulation to drive that out of them. 7 years of complete destruction to finally cause people to say that God does according to his will in the heavens and among the mortals of the earth.